God bless every one of you. It's good to see you this morning. Turn to the one beside of you and say, "You sure look good today." Y'all kind of slow. Come on now. Do it one more time. "You sure look good today." That sounds better. That sounds better. I know some of you looked and... It is good to be here today. Thank you for this opportunity to come and share with you from God's Word today. It's always a blessing when God opens the opportunity for me. I've been pastoring for over 30 years now, and Lord, always when I leave one church, we go right to another church. But this particular time, the Lord has kind of given me a little break, so I've just been going around visiting churches and seeing what's really out there, because when you're just involved with your church, sometimes you miss what's going on in our community. I'm a native here of Goldsboro, born and raised in Goldsboro, and this is my home. I remember coming here years ago when you had a pastor named Frank Purvis, a dear friend of mine. I love Frank. He's a great person. And I think you guys were in revival that night, and I came and visited and enjoyed it then, and certainly enjoy it today. I want you to turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. I want to talk about a time in the life of David, which is very critical. Very critical time in his life, a very tremendous time in his life when he was hurting. I don't know if you've ever been hurt or hurting in your life, but the pain sometimes can go beyond what words can say. In life, sometimes things happen to us that we don't understand. And I want to share with you a message today about struggle. As I begin to seek the Lord, what I might be able to share with you today, this is where the Lord led me, because I believe that in some way, form, or fashion, we all struggle in some way. And I want to entitle my message today, "When Strong Men Struggle." Because sometimes, have you ever asked yourself a question? Well, you hear about someone else going through something or whatever, and you say, "Well, that would never happen to me, or that wouldn't affect me that way." And then it comes to your door, and it's a different story. How many of you know that we serve a God that is ever-present help in our time of trouble? How many of you know that our God cares about us, and He walks with us, even when we feel at times that there's no one there? And I believe that this particular time in the life of David, he felt that way. And those of you that study the Bible, you know the story. But let me read for reference sake, chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive, and therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." So what's going on now is David's in battle. He's doing what he feels is right. He's doing what God's called him to do. But in the midst of doing his battle, the enemy comes in the back door. And while he's away and his men are away into battle, the enemy comes to his home, invades their home, burns the city, takes his wife, takes his children, and leaves them desolate. As I begin to read that and begin to think, how many times in your life, have you ever had those times in life when this is going on, just about time you get that straightened, something else comes along? This is what he was feeling like. And now in verse 3 says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire." Can you just imagine? Get the scenario, get the picture of what's going on. He's going away doing what he knows is right, doing what he knows is the right thing to do. But in the midst of doing what is right, the enemy attacks him. Sometimes in life, we say, "Well, we never intend to fail. We never set out and say, 'Well, this is what I'm going to fail at doing in life.' We always strive to succeed." But how many of you know sometimes it doesn't turn out that way? Sometimes our life doesn't really turn out the way we want to, and there's some things in there that cause us to struggle at times. So he comes home, and verse 3 says, "And David, when he came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Can you see his heart? Can you see the hurt there? I want to know, I want to tell you this morning, that one sitting beside of you may be hurting in a most excruciating way and you don't know about it. That one that you see in the marketplace or that one that you see in your job tomorrow morning, they may be hurting. And how many of you know that we've been called to minister to them that hurt? We've been called to touch lives, to make an impact on someone's life. And the greatest way you can make an impact on someone's life is to touch them when they're hurting. David and his men, I mean, he's lost everything. He's lost his home, his valuables, his family, his children. And he just weeps. And him and his people wept till there was nothing else to weep. Have you ever hurt that bad that you've just cried and there's nothing else there to cry about? And then it said in verse 5, and David's two wives were captive. David's two wives were captive. His whole family. I could just feel his pain. And look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, the scenario gets even deeper. Not only has he lost his family and everything he has is hurting, but the guys that were with him, now they start turning on him. David, if it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't have lost our family. If it hadn't been for this, if we hadn't been doing what you wanted us to do, now he's feeling the whole world's coming in on his shoulders. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before, but I want to tell you, there are times when you just don't know what to do. What do when you don't know what to do? How do you stand when you don't understand? How do you keep going? And the Bible says here that David encouraged himself. I want to talk with you just a few minutes this morning about the struggle of men. And I want to tell you, one thing that is we are desperate need of today is leadership in America. We are in desperate need of men and women who know what it is to have a cause and to fight for it. David knew in his heart he was doing what God had told him to do, because you got to understand something about David. He was a strategist. David knew how to war. He knew how to battle. When he was a young man tending to his father's sheep, he learned about God. He learned about the principles of God. He learned how to take care and to maneuver through warfare. He learned all that. And as he grew up, the Bible teaches us that the kingdom suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. One thing that I feel that we need desperately back in the church, back in the world, is that aggressive nature of God. How many of you know that we serve a mighty God today who is able? When you know that your God is able, there's nothing that can stop you. When you know that your God is able, all the world may come against you, but my God is able to supply your needs. He's able, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the world might say, even though all those things are important and we do value them. But sometimes in life, there are things that we don't understand and we can't fix. But isn't it a great resolution to know that our God is able to fix what we can't fix? David was a man of war. He was a man of battle. One thing that I feel as I begin to study this, we have got to get back to the point that we understand who we are. We are believers in God. And as a believer in God, we are warriors. We war, we fight the fight of faith. We stand when there's nowhere to stand. And we believe a God that many people say that doesn't exist, but we know. But in this world that we live and in this world that we have, there's a fight for position today. Everywhere we turn, there's something trying to deny the name of God. And God has called you and I to be leaders. Men, I want to challenge you this morning to be a leader of your home. I want to challenge you to be a leader in your community, a leader in your church, because God is raising up leaders. I want to talk about three things today that causes men to struggle. Number one is balance. One thing that we need in our lives today is balance. Balance is that avenue in our life that keeps everything in perspective. David was a man who knew balance. You see, because we see a lot of times his warring side. We see he was a mighty general. He was a mighty warrior, but also he had a tender side. You remember the story of him and Jonathan. Jonathan was one of his best friends. He loved him. He knew what it was to love. Men, I want to tell you today, I challenge you, don't ever lose that perspective of love. I know we live in a hard time. And I know sometimes we feel like that we've got to be hard in order to survive. But in the midst of your hardness, don't get lost in that wall. Don't get lost behind that veil to the point that you lose your sensitivity. You lose that feeling, because God has called us to man the wall. He's called us to guard our community, guard our home, guard our lives. How many of you know that things happen in families sometimes, and the word that you get out of it, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know my child felt that way. I didn't know they were involved in things like that. You know what? You know why things like that happen? Because we lose our sensitivity. We lose who we are. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to challenge you, men, I want to challenge you, women, that God has called us to a level of balance. It can't always be one way or always be the other way. We've got to find a medium in our life. God has not called you, and I feel led to say this, God has not called you to be like anybody else. God has not called you to look like anybody else. He's called you to be you. And inside of you this morning, there is a raging warrior who God said with him all things are possible. Do you know that? Do you know that you this morning, sitting there in that pew, can literally make the difference in people's lives? Do you know by yourself today that God can use you? You and God become a mighty army, and there is something great that you can do. Balance. We need that balance, that tenderness, that creative part of us that allows God to make things when it don't seem like it can be made. The second thing I want to talk about is not only balance, but power. There is a struggle for power today. David was a mighty man, but he knew where his power came from. Sometimes in life, in business, I've been involved in business now most of my career. I've been plant manager. Now I'm an operation manager. I know what it is to be involved in business. And sometimes in business, there's that challenge to be like everybody else. Sometimes that challenge to turn your head or to give in or compromise. There is a fight for power today. But men, let me tell you something. There is no power like the power of God. Never compromise the power of God, because He is your strength. I've sat in board meetings and I've had to make decisions by myself because I believe that God would have me to believe this way or stand for right. How many of you know that God has called us to stand for right? David was fighting this war because he believed in what he was doing, and he knew it was right. Even though his friends began to turn on him, even though everything began to come against him, he knew he was right. How many of you know that what we need restored back in America today is men and women of conscience and character? Amen? What do you believe in? What is your faith? Well, I go to so-and-so church. I'm not talking about faith in a building. I'm not talking about faith in a church. I'm talking about faith in a God who is able. We need men and women who are moved by balance, who are not swayed to the left nor the right, but they're moved by balance. But in the midst of that balance, they understand that power. You know what the definition of power is? The definition of power is total control. That's what power is. Total control. And I want to ask you, who is controlling you? Because how many of you know some things that appear to be power is powerless? But we serve a God who has all power. Amen? Sometimes in that board meeting, you have to go by your heart. That's where that sensitivity comes in. Well, it's all right. Everybody else is doing it. Why don't we do it that way? God didn't call you to do it that way. God didn't call you to be like everybody else. He called you to be you. Amen? And sometimes God may have you in that meeting so that somebody will shine the light and say, hey, I am a man of conscience and a character, and there's some things I cannot do. How many of you know in life there's some things you cannot do and walk in the power of God? I know we live in a society today that everything's okay, everything's all right, you know, everything's, you know, politically correct, everything, we got to make sure everything. But let me tell you something. In your heart, has anyone in here today ever done anything against your heart? I know nobody's going to raise no hands today. Nobody's going to admit nothing like that. I'm the only one. But how many of you have done things knowing in your heart that's not the right decision? But you were pressured. Or you felt like, well, what would they think? I'll be an outsider. I'll be ostracized if I make a decision like that. And man, just as soon as you did, you knew it wasn't the right one. And you walked away with your head defeated. Sometimes when you make the right decisions, you may walk alone. You may be by yourself. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? It's not easy to change things. But we need men of character. We need men of balance. We need men of power. But the last thing I want to talk about is purpose. Purpose. Because if you ever attempt to do anything for God, there will come that challenge of your purpose. Why am I doing this? What is the reason for this? David fought, and he fought with all of his might. His testimony went throughout the region. When someone mentioned David, he was the young man who cut Goliath's head off. He was a young man who tore bears and lions in two with his bare hands. He was anointed of God to fight. Now this man now is under attack. Sometimes you're going to make the right decisions. And you're going to walk in balance. And you're going to walk in power. But there's going to be a price for that. There's going to be a price for that. You need to get that. Because your purpose will be attacked. But when you know in whom you have believed and am persuaded that he is able. See, we're persuaded this morning. When you know what you're doing is right. How many times have you ever told your children, well, I want you to do it this way. Why, Dad? Everybody else gets to do it. Johnny, his parents let him do this. Mary Sue lets their parents do, let her do anything she wants to. You got to stand. Because you know it's right. Amen. How many of us know? I see a lot of gray hairs today along with my gray hair. And we know what's right and wrong, don't we? Sometimes you got to stand for that. Character and purpose. Purpose will be attacked. And David's purpose was these men come against him. And they said, if it were not for you, our families would still be here. Can you imagine how that broke his heart? Can you imagine? Well, the Bible says that they cried so much. Now, you got to understand, this mighty warring general is over in the corner crying so much till he has no more tears. His heart is so broken, he has nothing left. And these people are saying, it's your fault. It's your fault. Have you ever been misrepresented? Can you imagine our Lord when he was hanging on that cross that day and they said, if you really are the Son of God, you come on down. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine, well, you're not really the Son of God. You're just a carpenter's son. But if you're really the Son of God now, come on down. What kept him on that cross? Purpose. He knew he was here to make a difference. And I want to tell you that if you don't remember anything else today out of this message, I want you to remember this. God has called you here at Northview to make a difference. He's not called you to be like everybody else. He's not called you to act like everybody else, to sound like everybody else. But he's called you to be different. Difference to the fact that you make a difference. Three things else I want to leave with you today in the midst of strong men struggling with purpose. In the midst of that purpose, I want you to understand something. When you're attacked in that purpose, if you're not careful, it will cause you to lose vision. Listen to me very carefully. Sometimes when we weigh out the options of the battle, we get scared and we say, is it worth it? Am I really willing to give up what I need to make a difference? Sometimes you're going to be sitting around that meeting or that board meeting or whatever, and you know in your heart what God wants you to do. And for a brief moment, you're going to think, is it worth it? Now, when I make this statement, everyone's going to turn against me. When I make this statement, I'm going to be ostracized. I won't be asked to go to lunch anymore. I won't be involved in their parties anymore. And you have to make a decision what is right. Your purpose will be attacked. And if you're not careful, understand, you can lose your vision. You can lose why you're there, We don't need men and women who will just fade in and be like everybody else. What we need is men and women of purpose and balance and character and power who understand that God has called me for a purpose. I am here for a reason. And I appreciate the leadership that I've seen this morning. I appreciate in our Sunday school time, for those of you that didn't come for that, you missed it. You missed it. And you just missed it. Can I say that one more time? You missed it. Okay? And it was really good. And I love what I see, you know, men who are in their place. And they're excited about it. And when you leave different. See, that's what I'm talking about, making a purpose. Do you realize that you have been called to be there so that when they leave at the end of the day, they say, man, I was glad to be around her. Or I was glad to be around him because it made him feel different. Don't you think that's sort of how Jesus was? Because when he walked in a city, it never was the same anymore. He didn't judge anybody. He didn't criticize anybody. He sat with a woman at the well one day because nobody else would sit with her. I mean, he did everything, but he didn't do it with a purpose that, look at me. He did it with a purpose of making a difference. Sometimes in the midst of making a difference, we'll get attacked in our purpose. And if we're not careful, we'll lose vision. Why am I even here? Why am I even doing? Have you ever had a desire to do something? And the next minute, the devil comes at you with all these thoughts trying to take that vision away. Well, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care if you bake a pie and give to that person. Nobody's going to care if you give that single mom $20. Nobody's going to care. But you know what? Listen, you're not doing it for everybody else. You're doing it for them. And who cares if nobody knows who you are? Who cares if nobody knows your name? You did it because God called you to do it. That's vision. What is your vision today? As I come to a close in this message, you know, we always love to hear preachers say, as I come to a close, because that really don't mean nothing. Have you ever noticed that? It really don't mean nothing. Then they come to a close, and 20 minutes later, they're coming to another close. And I would say, I can find a lot of places where you could have stopped, you know, but it don't mean anything, but because it's church, and I need to say it in closing, sometimes God called us to be there, sometimes just to be there. Does that make sense? It's like when you're in the hospital and maybe someone's just received bad news, and I heard a lot of requests today, and maybe God is leading. You say, well, what can I do? What can I do? Sometimes nothing, just be there. Sometimes when I've walked into funeral situations or someone's just passed and, you know, they're hurting. And they're hurting like David. I mean, they're hurting to the point that there's no more words. Sometimes it's just being there. Your purpose is just to be there. Because God knows that we don't have the answers or we'd be God. But God called us to be there. Don't lose that vision. And the second thing, don't be defeated, because what you do is valuable. You say, well, really, nobody knows what I do. I come to church and I turn the lights on and I turn the air on. Nobody knows about that. Nobody cares about that. Yes, they do. You know, if that's what God told you to do, that's important. Everything God has called you to do is important. You know why men fail today? And I am going to close with this. You know why men fail today? Because they give up. They lose who they are, and they give up. Today, God has called this great church that's been, and I'm, like I say, I'm from Goldsboro. This church has been here for a long time. This church has made a voice, and it's made a light to a lot of people. Why are you here? You know why you're here? Because it made a difference in your life, didn't it? Do you know how many people this morning need to be here? Do you believe that God can fill this place up? You're here, and you're valuable, and you've got a purpose. There's somebody else outside that door with the same feeling. But right now, they're feeling like, doesn't matter, I'm just nothing. Sometimes God may put a person on your mind. He may put a person on your heart. And did you know sometimes one phone call can make a difference? David, the Bible says, encouraged himself. And he went to the Lord, as you in your special time this week, go on and finish reading that. He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, should I pursue these people or should I just give up? And you know what God said? Pursue. And guess what he did? He went, he got his family back, he got everything that belonged to him back, and they came and they rebuilt and restored. Somebody belongs to be here today. I'm asking you to stand to your feet. Somebody needs to be here today that's not here. Somebody needs to be here that's not here. You're here, and God is so thankful for you being here. The lives that you're touching now is innumerable. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the lives you give. Thank you for what you do to make Northview what it is. It's a great church. It's always been a great church. And it's great because of people like you. May God bless you. May he give you strength. And may you understand that there's a power and there's a purpose that God has given to you. And go out and touch somebody's life today. I'll turn it back over to my brother this morning in closing.